The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were 6 stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Weddings are a special celebration that involves a lot of hard work and planning, as many of you well know. They take a meticulous amount of planning, but even with the utmost attention to detail, we discover that there is no such thing as a perfect wedding. Inevitably, something goes wrong. From a miscue in the procession to the groom saying the opposite of what he's supposed to repeat. Sometimes at the reception afterward, the best man will reveal something regarding the bride and groom that will make even pastors and grandparents blush. Remember, this is Pastor Rick's sermon. It shouldn't surprise us too much because things have been going wrong at wedding celebrations for as long as people have been getting married. Even Jesus ran into trouble at a wedding. The wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Mary was there along with Jesus and the disciples. Weddings back in that day and age were great and glorious affairs. The party would go on, not just for hours, but for days. At some point, they ran out of wine. This was a real problem. Whatever the reason, this was incredibly poor hospitality and an embarrassment for the groom. Mary found out that the wine was gone and told the servants to do whatever they were told to do by Jesus. But if you listen carefully, Jesus wasn't ready for this. Imagine looking at his mother Mary and saying, "Mom, what are you doing? I don't want to do this. It's not time." He wasn't ready yet to reveal exactly who and what he was. But for some reason, Jesus gave in. There were 6 stone jars which would hold around 180 gallons of water. The water would have been used for ceremonial washings and ritual baths. He told them to fill up the jars and take a cup to the chief steward. When they did that, it was discovered it had turned into wine. And it wasn't just any old wine. It was good stuff. The steward found the bridegroom and lavished praise on him because of the quality of wine. Most people, he said, serve the good wine first. And after people have had enough of it and they really don't care what they drink anymore, the cheap stuff is brought because no one knows the difference. But in this case, the good wine was saved until the end. This was the first of the signs and miracles of Jesus in the Gospel of John, and because of it, he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. But the miracle is not the point of this story this morning. Miracles never happen just for the sake of the miracle. Miracles always point to a larger truth about God. The larger truth here is seen in the demonstration of the power of Jesus. Through him, we find the impossible becoming possible. Those things that have no chance suddenly become reality. Nothing is impossible for God. If you want to talk about miracles and the power of Christ, let's maybe talk about the miracle of marriage. Author and theologian Frederick Buchner says that by all laws of logic, marriage makes no sense. Marriage means to give yourself away to another, and to give yourself away ought to mean that you have less of yourself. But in the marriage relationship, just the opposite is true. To give yourself totally and completely to another one is to become fully alive. In premarital counseling sessions with couples, there is the facing of stark reality. The bubble is broken. There will be days when it will seem next to impossible to keep the promises that you've made to each other. There will be days when your spouse will get on your very last nerve. There will be days when you wonder why you ever got married in the first place. But that's when real love kicks in. That's when the promises become paramount. That's when you remember that you stood before God on your wedding day to pledge yourself to each other no matter what. For better or worse, richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, until you are separated by death. Statistically, a large number of marriages fall apart in the first 3 years. In the marriages that continue, the two partners are devoted to each other and love each other to the very depths of their souls. But even in these marriages, there are days, aren't there, when you forget the promises you made. There are days when you get angry at each other. There are times when your spouse will disappoint you. There are days when the stress will be overwhelming and you think of giving up. There will be moments when you think that if you had to do it all over again, would you do it the same way and with the same person? But in these circumstances, that's where the miracle kicks in. The impossible becomes possible. The miracle of marriage points to the truth of God. When we invite Christ to be a part of our deepest commitments, whether it be marriage or career or the work needed to fulfill a long-held dream, we can be sure he will be with us to guide us and make available his wisdom. Christ will be there if invited. And should our resources run low, patience, compassion, willpower, or even bodily strength, Christ has authority and power to supply our needs because of the abundance of God. Whatever problems confront us, whatever we lack in any situation, Christ can restore us. He can restore us to happiness, bring healing and restoration, and is able to renew our ability to enjoy life and celebrate fully without worry or want. Now, our best plans do not always succeed as planned. Life can throw us a curve. But as long as Jesus is present in the midst of what we are going through, there is hope. We cannot always see how God is going to provide for us. We do not know what the Lord is going to do to turn our circumstances around. And we cannot predict that what we might have to do to be part of the solution. But we can remember that God works all things for good. When the wine gave out, the water set aside for ritual cleaning became the new wine. In fact, it was the best wine. This is remarkable. Jesus turned social expectations completely around by saving the best for last. What Jesus has done at this wedding is a powerful analogy about what was to come. When Jesus, the living water, was resurrected by the power of God, this is the first miracle. So let the celebration begin. Become intoxicated with the living water who became the new wine, who saved the best for last by providing the way to salvation with the miracle of his life, death, and resurrection. Thank God for miracles and for new life.